China was one of the late shapes that really connect these some of the discipleship culture stuff, some of the green stuff. And the shapes help us to get a handle on different aspects of things that perhaps it's hard to get a handle on, perhaps we need to hear. And he ends up with that visual, he ends up picturing of what it looks like. So the China angle is the shape that we talk about balancing life with. And so hopefully it's going to come up. So we've got up, we've got in, and we've got out. Last week we looked at up, which is our relationship with God. This week we're going to look at in, which is our relationships with people that we're close to. And out is the relationship with the world and our mission. So we're going to think about in this week. And in is really about the relationships that we have with each other when we know one another. So they could be our family relationships, they could be relationships with our friends, and they could be relationships as the body of Christ in this place. And that's really what we're going to look at today. We're going to think about what it is to be together as the body of Christ in this place, what it is to be in church in this place. And we're touching a few other things as well. But one of the things is, as all the sociologists who look at what's going on in the world would tell us, that we actually live in a world that is desperate for relationships. But the really interesting thing is that although the world is desperate for authentic relationships, we actually live in a very fragmented world. We live in a world where there's loads of what sociologists call rampant individualism. There's a term where it's about me, it's about my stuff, it's about self-worth, it's my phone, it's my watch, it's school, and all. We live in a world where it's all about me, where we get in front of it's beautifully. We get in front of a gaming console and it's just about me and whatever, and the connections with the wider world are often virtual connections for us, and that's not something that's particularly the domain of young people. Very many of us, our life is lived by Facebook, or our life is lived by Twitter, and that's where we get information, that's where our connections with people. But we do live in a world that's desperate for authentic relationship, and one of the reasons I think we're desperate for authentic relationship is actually that's because we're hardwired for it. Because we're made in the image of God, and essentially God is relational. Essentially God is not one person, but three persons. So you've got this lovely dance of the Trinity, of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, of that perfect idea of community, and what it looks like to be in relationship with one another. I want to ask a question straight off this morning, and I want to ask the question, what does it mean to be there for each other? What does it look like to be here for one another? Last year, give you a clue, maybe. No.
Relationship with people.
to actually be there with us, to stand there with us. And I want to ask the question this morning, what does that actually look like for us? There's a very cheesy, rosy picture in Friends of what that looks like, and about how they community with one another, they stand with each other, they share each other's joys, they share each other's sorrows. But what does that actually look like for us? Is that something that's only attainable on the screen? Is that something that's only attainable through the producers doing the cover stuff of what they produce and what the writers write? But is that something that is actually possible for us to attain? Is that something that's possible for us to do here? We're going to look at Ephesians 4 this morning, and we're going to really look at the beginning and the end of this passage, but we'll read the whole thing, probably a bit in the middle. I've been at the Forge Conference this week with Alan Hirsch talking about Ephesians 4, so I'm going to cleverly miss out the big bit that he talks about, and then I'm going to look at the start and the finish. So, Ephesians 4, and we're starting at verse 1. And Paul writes, as a prisoner for the Lord then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each one of us, grace has been given to express the portion of it. That's why it says, when he ascended on high, he took many captives and gave gifts to his people. What does he ascending mean, except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions? He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ can be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become, in every respect, the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. I think that there's something very profound in that passage, because the passage speaks about relationship, it speaks about us relating to one another. There's lots of stuff in there about unity. And one of the things that I think we need to get a handle on is the different kinds of relationships that we function in. And there's a big difference between what is covenant relationship and what is what we're going to call transactional or functional relationship. You see, when Jesus calls us, at the start of that passage it says, live according to your calling, and when Jesus calls us, he doesn't call us into a relationship that says, come to me and do this, 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 and this. He just says, come to me. It's a covenant relationship. His arms are wide open and he says, will you come to me? And you know, that's the story all the way through the Bible, from Genesis all the way through to Jesus comes. That is the story. It is the God of the whole earth, the creator God, God of everything, the omnipotent God, who comes and pursues us relentlessly. This is the God who walked in the garden with Adam and Eve. It's the God who drew close to them, who turned up in the cool of the evening and walked with them. It's the God who, when Adam opened his eyes for the first time, he was looking into the face of him. That's the God who invites us into covenant relationship with him. And that covenant relationship is the thing he's been pursuing from the very start of time. And every time God came close to us to pursue that relationship, we went like that and said, no, it's okay. And we run as fast as we could in the opposite direction. And you know, maybe that's you this morning. Maybe God has come close and come close and come close, and actually you are legging it in the other direction. And God wants to say to you this morning, there's no strings attached to this. Will you come? Because actually what I offer you is me. That's what this is about. I offer you me. Will you come? And you see, there's a difference between covenant relationship and transactional relationship. In covenant relationship, the definition of covenant relationship or covenant is about glorious commitment. It's about fully identifying with the other. It's about sharing possessions. It's about being loyal no matter what the cost. And you see in Jesus that covenant relationship demonstrated, don't you? This is the one who left all the glory of heaven to come and fully identify with us. He came and it was that gracious commitment to be one of us that prompted him to come. That's covenant relationship. Covenant relationship is not about keeping a set of rules. Covenant relationship is the invitation to come. And you see, the difference to that is transactional or functional relationship. And in a transactional or functional relationship, it's based on you meeting certain conditions. I've been thinking about Jacob. And when Jacob, when God spoke to Jacob, there's a bit in the Bible where we talk about Jacob's ladder. When God spoke to him there, he said to him, I'm going to give you all this. And what Jacob says to him, instead of saying, okay, God, if you're giving me, I'll have it. Jacob says, okay, God, I'll do this, 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 and this for you if you do that for me. Jacob doesn't get it. Jacob thinks that there's a bargain to go on here, that he has to do this, 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 and this, and then God will show up and do that. And if you look at the story of Jacob all the way through, that's what he does. When he goes and he asks for Rachel, he asks to marry Rachel, he goes and he says to Rachel's father, I'll do this, 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 and this for you if you get your daughter's hand. Jacob is, his whole thing is about transactional relationships. I'll do this, I'll do this, I'll do this, and then you'll do that. And there's a point comes at the point where Jacob wrestles with God, if you remember that part, where Jacob wrestles and wrestles and wrestles, and eventually Jacob says, I'm not going to let go of you until you bless me. And in that moment, Jacob gets what covenant relationship is. In that moment, he suddenly realizes that actually this is just about what God wants to give him. It's not about something that he does in return. And there's a big difference between covenant relationships and transactional relationships. The relationship that God calls us into with him is a covenant relationship. And I believe that actually for us, there needs to be a shift in terms of how we do relationship with people that becomes covenant relationship and not transactional relationship. I'll let you sit with that for just a minute. You see, we're made in the image of God. And because we're made in the image of God, we're hardwired for community. We're hardwired for that kind of relationship, that gives and it keeps giving, even though it hurts. I've been thinking about the amount that God keeps giving. And over the last week, I've been thinking about how much, I can't imagine, I've been thinking about some of my relationships, and I've been thinking how much I've poured into some relationships, and how sometimes that has gone really well, and other times that hasn't gone really well, and it's been really, really painful. And as I started to think about the pain that was there for me, I started to think about the pain that must be there for God. Where God pursues us with this no strings attached, come on, come to me, relationship. And we keep saying, oh well, if you do this, or I'll do this if you do this, and we pursue it on a transactional basis. I thought, man, if the pain that I feel about relationships that I've poured into, where, you know, folk have thrown it back or walked away or whatever, if that's the pain I feel, what pain must God feel? You see, we're hardwired for a relationship with one another. We're not hardwired to be separate, we're actually hardwired to be together and to be in community. But the sad thing is that many communities, and actually many faith communities, are just gatherings of isolated individuals. They're just gatherings of individual people. I wonder if you look around this morning, how well you know the folks who are sitting around about you. I wonder if you know what's going on in their lives this week. I wonder if you know what's going on in their families. I wonder if you know what they're struggling with. I wonder if you know what makes them happy. I wonder if you know what kind of things they need help with. I wonder if you know what you carry that you need. I wonder how well you know the folks who are sitting around the way. We were at the Lennon community the week before last. quote, and I did actually write down verbatim what he said, because I didn't want to say this and tell you it was me that said this. What he said was, we can't just drop in on a Sunday and expect it all to happen. So we can't just parachute in on a Sunday morning and expect it's all going to be rosy and we're going to know every day and know it and it's all going to be happy today. I was thinking about this at the Porch Club Christmas, we can think about it in context of mission. And hear me finish this before you throw things. I think we are much better behaved on mission than we are with each other. I think when we go out on mission, we are actually very good at getting alongside people, and we're really nice to people when we go out on mission. I don't think we're really so nice to one another when we're in here. Because I think when we go out on mission, we have a very clear focus. When we go out to see, we go out to the lost out there, we have a very clear focus about this is what we're going to do, and we need to do this, and we need to do this, we need to do this, and we get really focused, and we get really gathered around something, and we go for it, and we do it. But I'm not sure that we're quite as good at it in here. I wonder what it would be like to be in this place, and for this to be a place where everybody knows your name. I put on Facebook this week that I wanted to put something together. I was hoping to pull something together that has photographs of us on it this morning. I didn't get anybody replying, so I'm not using my photographs. So what I've done is I've put a video together, only use the photos that were on the church's Facebook page, so I'm taking any of these embarrassing photos before you go crawling under the seat. Have a look at this. Those of you from a certain date in either will recognize the tune in the background. We bless somebody that we don't know very well, and we bless one other person. And that might be a word of encouragement.
just actually standing with somebody. Heard a really powerful story that forced us to speak about sometimes the most powerful thing that you can do for somebody is to hold their hand. It's just to stand beside them and hold their hand. You don't actually have to say anything. You just need to be there. And sometimes that's enough, and that's what people need, and that's that will get a real blessing for folks. And the second one is the E, which is eat. Everybody has to eat, and so Michael Frost's suggestion is that you eat with at least three different people in the course of your week. So somebody that you know that you would normally eat with, somebody that you don't know particularly well, that you would normally eat with, and one other person, so you invite them in. The first L is listen to God, and we were thinking about that last week. Listen to God and look for the promptings of what God is saying. Look for what God is prompting you to say or to do or to be with somebody. The second L is learn Jesus. That means we're in the Word. We actually know who this Jesus is. We know who he is and we become more like him. It's actually that's what coming to maturity is about. It's actually become more like Jesus. And the S is for saved. That's the fact that we are all together in this. We are all together, the sent ones. Jesus didn't ever send them in ones. He sent them in twos, he sent them in whatevers, but he didn't ever send them in ones. It was about us going together, and there's something very powerful about us being together and about us going together. The Ephesians passage begins to answer what this actually looks like, and Paul begins to address this. So this is what Paul says. He says, be completely humble and gentle, be patient, bearing with one another. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another. And there are five things in here. Be humble, humility. This is not all about you, and it's not all about me. It's about being humble. It's about recognizing that sometimes I need to put stuff down because actually I want to celebrate you. It's about you recognizing that sometimes you need to put stuff down because you want to celebrate me. And you want to help me, and you want to be there for me, and vice versa. It's not just about you. Gentleness really is about showing consideration towards other people. I heard there was Hirsch talk yesterday about the image of God, the imagery of the, and how the image of God is the image of us. We are all made in the image of God. And the question she posed was, what does that mean for Hitler? Hitler was somebody made in the image of God. What does that mean for the person that you just think, please don't let me have to be anywhere near them? And actually that may be somebody that's sitting in here. What does it mean that that person's created in the image of God? As you start to look at people and you start to look for the image of God, so something changes in how you see them and how you view one another. So what does the image of God look like? And how do we call that out in gentleness? Patience and bearing with one another. We'll take those two together. Patience and bearing with one another actually means dealing with a deliberate and a courteous way with one another. Now, when I read this, I think, oh, of course, that's what we do, because we're in a courteous way with one another, we're not nasty to one another. And that's true. We very rarely go around being out overtly nasty to one another, but you know, sometimes it's in silence that we're not patient with one another. We're not bearing with one another. I want to suggest to you that there's a massive power in encouragement. There's a massive power in being able to say to somebody, that was great. Or somebody who's going through something really difficult, actually being able to say to them, man, you are doing such an amazing job. How are you coping? When I worked in education and I worked with children who had significant behavioural and social and emotional difficulties, one of the things that we did was work with the parents. And there's something very powerful in working with a parent whose child is just off the wall, because the parent, all the parent ever hears is what a bad job they're doing because their child is bouncing somewhere or doing something that they shouldn't be doing. And all the parent ever hears is that. And one of the things that was a deliberate thing with the team that I worked with was when you met a parent for the first time, you would always affirm the parent. So you would always say to the parent, you know something, you're doing an amazing job. Tell me how you're managing to actually stand up. How did you manage to get in here this morning? Because I'm not sure I could do that if my kid was doing what your kid's doing. And you know, you would see parents grow 2 inches tall. because she had identified with them. Somebody had said something to them that wasn't put down, that wasn't putting her in her place, that wasn't saying what an awful child she thought. Somebody had said something encouraging. I was really challenged last weekend. The girls from Colleen who were here and had breakfast with them in the morning before we came here. And in the hotel where they were staying, the lady came to clear the table. And the lady came over to clear the table. Now, my reaction to this is she said, well, we just had been to say hello, you know, it's a lovely morning, whatever, and then got up and left and she was clearing the table. I watched what these girls did and I was so convicted by what they did. I watched Mandy, and what Mandy did was she said to the girl, you're doing a great job in here. And the girl said, well, thanks very much. She said, I've just come on shift. She said, it's actually when you come on shift, you're going to reach your way here. And Mandy said, no, she said, you are doing, you just need to hear that. You are doing a phenomenal job in here. And she said, do you think so? And Mandy said to her, not content, I think just like, yeah, yeah, I'm actually fantastic. And off I was going. But not content, she was like a dog with a bone. And she said, she said, there's a real joy about you. And see when you come to clear the dishes off people's tables, the atmosphere changes at the table. You need to keep doing what you're doing. And the girl, honestly, her whole face changed. And she said to us, she said to Mandy, do you mind used to work in housekeeping? She said, you don't really see people there, you just make beds and stuff. And Mandy kept going at it. She said, you need to stay in this job. You need a job around the right people. Because actually what you carry is really important and everybody needs to see that. And I thought, oh my goodness, okay, that's the power of encouragement. Jesus wasn't mentioned, but he was in the room and he was at the table and she knew there was something different. And as we got up to leave, she actually came after us and she said, I just wanted to tell you that you've ruined my day today. And I thought, the power of encouragement, what does that look like amongst us? Sometimes it's easier to encourage people that you're not too close to. Sometimes the hard bit comes in encouraging people that you are close to. Love is the last on the list here. And I want to suggest to you that love is a choice and not a feeling. We actually choose to love one another. What does it mean to love one another? It means sometimes we have to say hard things to each other. It means sometimes we have to encourage each other. It means sometimes we have to offer to go out of our way for somebody else. Sometimes it means that we just take somebody's hand. I want to encourage you to look for what love means over the rest of this day and the rest of this week. Because you see, John 13:35 says this, by this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. And you know, when we love one another and when we're in covenant relationship with each other, we can say hard things to each other. We can say the things to each other that actually help us to grow up, because that's what this passage is all about. The passage is about us growing up and about us being mature so that we don't get blown about here and there and everywhere. So we're actually in it together, we're strong at the centre, and when we go out to do the stuff that we want to do in terms of reaching the lost, that's hard stuff. Hard work out there, and we will get battered and bruised in it. And you know, it's much easier to take the battering and the bruising if you've got somebody who's standing beside you, and if you've got somebody that you know you can come back to, where regardless of what a lousy week you've had, somebody will stand beside you and somebody will hold you. Or you've got somebody that you know that you can go to on a Wednesday, because actually it's too long to wait till Sunday for somebody to hold you, for somebody to hold on to you. Sometimes we just need to hear that people love us and that people are standing with us. I want to leave you with one last video, which is actually a video from it's an advertising campaign for Buskies and Brussels. Just to be honest about it. But actually, what it does is it illustrates really well why it is that we need to stand together and we need to develop those relationships that will see us standing and coming together. We thank you, Father, that you are teaching us about covenant relationship. Father, I pray that in this next week, you would give us opportunities to bless one another. You would give us opportunities to encourage one another. You would give us opportunities to eat with one another. You give us opportunities to love one another. Father, I thank you that so often you've placed just what we need inside somebody else, and sometimes the person we put it inside is something we don't like very much. Father, will you help us? Will you help us to work out what it looks like to be in covenant relationship with one another? What it looks like to stand with one another? What it looks like to encourage one another? Father, will you do that here? Father, I pray that for each one of us, we would get a handle on what it looks like to be in covenant relationship with you. What it looks like to just be able to come and lie down, because you don't ask us to do anything else. You don't even need us to do anything else. Father, I thank you that my call is to come closer to you and to simply let you love us. And as you love us, I pray that it would become easier for us to love one another. Father, we thank you for the relationships that we have here. We thank you for those who are close to us. And I pray, Father, that you would burden each one of us for a relationship with you. That our in would be very strong here. That we would be strong at the core. So that when the lost come, they have something that they really want to come to. Because they see a place where everybody knows your name. But it's okay to take your shoes off and put your slippers on. But it's okay to see your brokenness, because you see mine too. Father, you teach us what that looks like, you need to. And Father, as we go from this place,